Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking. Solo,
really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
It's
is it
so
not
fun.
Delivering? Is it not it, delivering every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow, exactly.
Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
It's Friday. Who's ready to go? I know two guys are, Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. This is Moneyline for a Friday afternoon cruise on Sirius XM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. NBA certainly is on the, I guess, tip of our tongues because last night we watched a few games. One team got closed out. One team extended into game number 7, which means an exciting weekend and a crazy Mother's Day Sunday between the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. Kevin Durant and his sons bounced out of the playoffs, which he said it was embarrassing. Yeah, you think, KD, that was embarrassing for this series for you? Expected to win the Western Conference and not doing so? The NFL schedule is out. A lot of really good games on tap and a lot of question marks as well with quarterbacks. And also, which team is going to make that leap into the, hey, guys, we're here to win a Super Bowl? Well, all that and more today on a Friday, K-Dub, as an action-packed show just begins.
No doubt about it. You know, on your Kevin Durant point, I guess I got to give him credit because why? Well, at least he showed up to the thing. I mean, Devin Booker went home and I understand the frustration. I really do. But am I being a pest by saying that I saw that Devin Booker didn't show up to the media and I said, man, I wonder if he asks for a trade? Is that me? Am I the problem that was my reaction to that? Because that's what it genuinely was.
I mean, in the NBA, you never know where it's coming from. Hey, I'm the franchise guy. You trade me. Like, I don't like the way this is going down.
Yeah.
But in the NBA, it's one of the leagues that is legitimate. Like, any superstar player right now, Kevin, can just go to their team like, I don't want to play for you anymore. And they make it happen.
Yeah, and look, that would be very drastic. And I don't think that's what's going to happen with a Devin Booker. But the Phoenix Suns are they are blowing it up, but with every intention of being title contenders next year. And again, that includes Devin Booker, obviously. But this team is almost assuredly trading DeAndre Ayton. Reports already coming out that they're likely to move on from Chris Paul. You know, the little offshore check-in. Apparently, the Lakers, the favorite to be CP3's team next season. Conversations around could Monty Williams lose his job? I mean, the Phoenix Suns opening day roster, when you compare it to what they opened this season with Donnie, pre-Durant trade and all that, going to look way, way different.
And you know why it's going to be? Because you have an owner that wants to be a mainliner, and you have an owner that stepped in, bought the team, and immediately goes, GM, give me in the room here. I don't want you picking up the phone. Let me pick up the phone and call the Nets. Give them whatever they want. I don't even care. Just give them whatever they want. We need Kevin Durant. Let's go win a championship. You didn't do it. So we're led to believe that the owner's going to be like, hey, guys, you know what? Let's preach patience here. We got KD. We got Booker. Let's just see what we can do. We're going to stick with our coach. No way. He is going to blow this thing up because typically, Kevin, that's why owners buy it. It used to be in the past, right? Hey, family, hand down from generation to generation to generation. These guys have so much money, it's like their new toy. Like, ooh, we got Durant. Didn't work out. Oh, boy, I just got one mean text or one mean tweet here. Yeah, you know what? Fire the coach, man. Let's go. We got to restart this thing. That's what I think you're going to get there.
But I'll say this, because I think this is kind of at least the usual angle from you. I know you don't like, you know, meddling from owners. Mm-hmm. He's right. Trading for Kevin Durant, the obvious right decision. You do that every single time. Moving on from Ayton, the obvious right decision. And Chris Paul, probably as well. Monty Williams, I thought Monty Williams had himself a bad postseason, but you can't really find anybody to say a bad word about Monty, and I'm sure that Kevin Durant would like to still play for him, and if he and Devin Booker still have that good relationship, then you give Monty Williams an actual season with a basketball team and not 8 games to try and figure it out. So the Monty thing could be an overreaction, and I actually still think he'll stay, but as we know, when you fail, like Phoenix did, everybody is on that hot seat there. I don't think Tripp moving on from Ayton or CP3 are some massive overreactions.
Yeah, nobody wants to get put in a bad situation being a head coach, but also that comes with the territory where you get put in a great situation with all-time players, and you're out of the playoffs before you're supposed to be. Now, granted, like you say to yourself, well, Phoenix, they wanted to win a championship. They probably would have taken and said, ah, man, we got so close, man. Lost game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. Let's run this back and do it. But the fact that they got blasted, and also, sometimes, Kevin, it's how you lose, right? Like, oh, we had a 2-2. You get drubbed there on the road, and then you come home and get embarrassed in your own building. That usually shakes things up, which, again, once we hit this break here on the opposite side, we're going to talk about a chance the Sixers had, a golden opportunity to maybe get to the NBA Finals. It's not over yet. Still got a game 7. But if they would have knocked the Celtics out, the guns would have all been turned on that franchise from the reporters going like, I don't think this can work, can it? Hey, Jalen, you don't really like Tatum, do you? I mean, give me some of those scoop. Well, you know, I don't mind it. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't like him. Front page of the Boston Herald, right? Oh, my goodness. Jaylen Brown can't be here anymore. You knew it was going to get to that level. Now, let's say they got at least a stay of execution till Sunday. Sixers, put him away. End it. Oh, man, don't even get me started. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Think about some NBA talk here. By the way, on Twitter I saw I don't follow Giannis Antetokounmpo. But he had a tweet the other night which showed him like in like a pregame ceremony, like the lights off, like a green like tint over his body. And it basically said something like, I'm gonna show all the people like disrespecting or doubters or something like that. And I think the first like person who responded was like, well, who is it? I like to throw daggers more than anybody, but I always get a kick out of that. It's like Tom Brady going, like, I'll show all the doubters wrong. What? Mm-hmm. Doubting about what? Being one of the best players in the game? Like, what is the doubt here? So I don't know. Some guys just try to stoke themselves up and get motivated by doing that stuff. But is it really like, outside of me saying, Giannis doesn't really have a game, he just crashes into everybody, he's just bigger and stronger? Is that what he's talking to me?
I don't know. I don't know if he's... I was wondering if it had to do with the fact of the loss. Because Giannis... It's kind of funny. It really bounced back and forth. People praising him for his there's no such thing as failure press conference. Yes. And then people kind of being like, yeah, okay, that's ridiculous, Giannis. But the timing of it was then when the all defense teams dropped, which I found very funny. That, because Giannis being bothered by that is more than understandable. I think there's a lot of people that would be like, yeah, I think Giannis is the best defender in basketball, right? And easily inside anyone's top five. And why that's funny to me is like one of the people that I feel like it would be like, well, Brooke Lopez and Drew Holiday on your own team were first team. Like, so I don't know if we can be like he's getting disrespected, but apparently the voters love the Bucks. Like, that's even weirder. If that was his beef, was the all defense teams, where it's like they weren't slandering the Bucks. I guess it was just you, but like, I don't even know how that works.
Yeah, maybe it is. Maybe he catches the early line and, you know, puts in some slander at that point here. I mean, we got a big following in Detroit. So why not a big following in Milwaukee at this point? So that's the way I like to look at it here. But yesterday, again, other game besides the I guess we could talk about the blowout there again with Phoenix. But what else is there left to be said? Phoenix certainly underwhelming. I threw in the towel after game number two when Chris Paul got hurt. You kept trying to rally the troops, but we knew it was going to be on the opposite end of that tunnel. The freight train was coming. Yeah. And you ran right into it. I got off.
No, I was dead right. I told you that they would go out there and win twice in Phoenix, and that's exactly what they did. And then we reconvened after the four games, and I'm like, yeah, they're not winning the series, but there was still money to be made on them in that series. But here's the interesting thing with Phoenix, though, right? As they are going to blow this up, it is not unreasonable to say that they win this series if they stay healthy.
No, they wouldn't.
Right. Okay, so you fully believe that. Okay, that's interesting.
Yes, I do.
I think a lot of people would then view you and I as kind of outsiders on this take then. And you sound even more confident than I do.
Yes, like I looked at game two, watching that game, how ugly it was, going, oh my God, like the 6-point or 8-point lead that they had in that game was so low scoring, it felt like 25 points. Chris Paul goes down, immediately they stink all of a sudden. So if you just say, okay, Chris Paul plays that game out, Denver never awakes, which, you know, they did a little bit in the final couple minutes, but basically it's because they were so discombobulated on offense, Phoenix, once Chris Paul left, they couldn't recover. Let's just say he plays that out, they go back 1-1. I firmly believe that Phoenix wins both of those games if they're healthy again, goes back to Denver, loses. Game six, a completely different scenario with a healthy Phoenix team waxing them. I'd say waxing them is not fair. Beating them and moving on. I really believe this.
Yeah, so I think at the minimum, the series could still be going on. Even if Chris Paul would have returned for game six like people suggested, and you know, some of these postseason injury reports are pretty hilarious, right? Like the initial diagnosis is like, yeah, listen, games three and four he's out, game five maybe, you know, but back by game six. And then he was out for game six, like in the middle of game four. It was like, huh? You know, like it was just one of those things where he never was getting back. But I don't know if I really would have picked Phoenix to win a game seven in Denver, but I think we would have been given that game seven in Denver. And Ayton was so bad that he missed that game last night. Nobody's talking about, like, well, I mean, come on now. Like, what did you expect really from this team? I'm trying to, like, what would be the example? If tonight we found out for Golden State that both Draymond and Wiggins were out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, the Lakers absolutely smashed this team. And then people just be like, well, that's what always was going to happen. Be like, well, that's a little disingenuous. Like, we don't know that for sure. Like, those are two monster injuries there. But for this Phoenix team, nobody seems to be talking about, and look, they deserve a lot of slander for how this all played out, no doubt. But nobody seems to be talking about the fact that a four-man team played without two of the four guys in their final game of the season.
And that's what sports is. Like, we live in the here and now at this point. It's like saying, okay, game seven for the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics, Jaylen Brown comes down with a, you know, illness where he can't play. They lose. What is everybody talking about? They still can't play together. You got to be kidding me here. Meanwhile, if Jaylen Brown plays, they probably win and they go on to maybe even a NBA championship. But that's what you remember last. Like, nobody's going to buy in Phoenix going, hey, guys, look, man. If we just waited out till next year, the same way the Clippers can't hold a press conference and go, we got the most talented team we think in the NBA. We're running it back next year. Oh, no, you're not. Like, you see what I mean? But that's what people say on the outside. Like, yeah, what do you mean you're running it back? Here, let me fast forward next year for 6 months. Oh, look, Kawhi's out for the year, and Paul George just twisted his ankle. Like, that's going to happen, but nobody wants to care about that and say, well, what if they're healthy? No, you're not going to be healthy. So you don't get the benefit of the doubt. And today is a bad day in Phoenix when you're right. If Phoenix just had their normal starting five for the series, I do believe they win it, and we're not talking about it, but they didn't. Now you blow it up. It's the same thing, Kevin, when we talk about so much with the Milwaukee Bucks. That one toe on the line by KD saved their entire franchise from being blown to pieces. Giannis is probably a Laker right now, Kevin, if that happened. That toe on the line moves back 1 inch, that three ball goes down, the Bucks are out of it, Giannis is a Laker.
Look, the beautiful thing about that is, like, if you don't forget it, then some of the things that happened with Milwaukee this year are just not that surprising to you.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have told you after that championship, the winning mm-hmm. championship, hey, Budenholzer's fired in the next 5 years, believe me? You're like, yes, of course. Absolutely. Yeah. There were people who were dying during that run be like, man, does this mean they keep Budenholzer? I'm like, yes, I'm telling correct. You.
Yes.
So that again, like that's why the end people being like, wow, like this is I mean, you want to talk about firing the wrong guy. I'm like, really? Because I don't think anybody ever once called him the right guy in Milwaukee. And so the reason why I don't think people are talking about the Suns in a well, if everybody was healthy way, when they were healthy during these playoffs, they never looked impressive. They never looked like the team you bet to win the finals, in theory. They never looked like that group, Donnie, during this run.
Yeah, you wanted a smash. You know, it's also the same theory that the Georgia Bulldog fans use. Maybe tell me Stetson Bennett just won a championship and he wants to come back. They get this guy out of here. There's so many more talented quarterbacks behind him. He comes back and wins another championship. But, yeah, people always have that pie in the eye. It's like, oh, look, something is always going to be better once it happens. But, no, certainly not at that point. But, again, that series is over. Denver moves on. Most disrespected one seed in the history of the NBA continues their, I guess, legacy to make everybody upset.
I will. Can I just say this? That is only in your eye. Am I at no. least maybe most, like no? Yeah, that's crazy. The most disrespected one seed thing to me is insane.
I want like statistics from the sports books that say was there a dollar placed on the Denver Nuggets winning the championship like, for anybody anywhere?
Like, people have been betting Denver all year long as the
know.
Value play of the decade.
I don't know.
And they've spent multiple they spent plenty of time booked as the favorites in the West before the Durant trade. Like, it's one of those things. And I remember wrestling with the idea of whether or not they would be able to eliminate Denver before the postseason even began. So I just, but that's because you don't respect Denver. They're now the least respected one seed in the history of basketball.
Disrespectful. By the way, here, we're going to talk about a lot more topics here. We're going to save a couple for hour number two. So I'm just going to tease you on something. So file this one away because we're really going to dig into the two games tonight in the NBA. Got a Major League Baseball slate today. But how about this? Interesting. The Bengals, we find out, volunteered, Kevin, to play on Black Friday every year, essentially making it a tradition like Dallas has and Detroit has. I just saw that come up and I said, you know what? I'm ready. I feel like I wanted to bash it immediately. And then I go, wow, you know what? Organization actually using their head. Because that, Kevin, a 3 o'clock Black Friday. We haven't even talked about that. And again, we're saving this one. We'll be back. We got a lot more to go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into Moneyline here at SiriusXM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Kevin, Friday afternoon. Get involved, have some fun. 844-843-6879. The calling lines are open. We got a huge Major League Baseball card tonight, but obviously, you know, front and center. 7:30 p.m. tonight, 10 o'clock tonight. That's the NBA. Yeah. New York Knicks, Miami Heat, Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Lakers. And we do have some line movement in that Knicks Heat game, Kevin. We talked about it this morning. Hey, 5.5s. Let's see where this winds up. Sixes are out there. And also, Fox Bet and MGM, 6.5s now. The Avalanche coming in here on the Miami Heat. We'll start with that game first. And also, a line that opened up. And this looks like it's a trend, for at least for today and yesterday. The total opened up at 209. It's now 207.5. Looks like that is the prevailing number across the board. Closeout games need a little bit more. Defense really steps up in the fourth quarter. We'll see if that plays out. But your initial thoughts here on a 4.5 opening line for the Miami Heat, now winding up at 6 and 6.5 at some outlets.
I think this is a spot where people are taking what I would call the Donnie Wrightside approach to NBA side betting. I think there's an overwhelming confidence that this is a Miami Heat win tonight series ender. And if that's the case, they're covering the number, right? The majority of playoff games, the spread does not factor in. Winning team fails to cover. And the notion is Miami is going to win this game. So if by chance this lands anywhere from, you know, 1 to 6, so be it. That's what I think you're seeing. What does fascinate me about that, though, is I noticed this morning You were a little more hesitant than usual on the, I like Miami to win, they're going to cover. You do like Miami to win, if I'm correct in reading.
Yes.
But the number does feel maybe a little bit bigger than we typically would have expected.
Yes, and it seems like here, even in the playoffs, when some of these numbers have run, it's been the correct move, and they have covered. But when I look at a game, it's not like the Golden State Warriors and the Lakers game earlier in the series, 227.5, right? A lot more possessions, a lot more firepower, a lot more offense, and chances here. It's the same way when you bet like an Army football game, Kevin, versus Navy in college. Mm-hmm. Look at that, 32. That should be easy. Well, hold on now. One team just had the football for 10 minutes and punted at midfield. How does that happen? Exactly. That's because we don't expect the offensive firepower to be there, which means limited possessions that you would usually get. Now, that 3.5, 4.5 range, like, okay, they can do that. And the Miami Heat had that a couple times here in this series at home, and I didn't even blink. Like, the games that were back in Miami, Kevin, right, which were games 2 and 3, I didn't even care what the line was. Just give me them. Take them. Boom, boom. Flatline them, and away you go. It was easy. I don't get that vibe from this game, even though I do think the Miami Heat win this game and close it out. All the, eggs are in the one basket for the Heat, and I think they can take care of business. But, boy, I'm seeing that 6.5, and I'm like, okay, they're going to win, but now you got to look at double digits here.
There is something that, again, we talk value, right? Betting certain numbers. You and I, despite not being side bettors, there has been, I don't know how many games. I don't know. Maybe 10 games each, we'll call it. It might be more, but just use it as a marker, right? Where I think you and I would have told people, listen, full conviction, this is the side tonight. Trust me. They're winning this basketball game, right? I know you've had a couple, right? And I think for the most part, we would be doing well in those spots. This is one of those games where, look, I really like Miami to win the game. But I don't think I'm betting a good number at Miami, flirting with Miami -7. As you said, all of a sudden you're just talking about a non-competitive game where, look, at the end, it is an 8 seed playing a 5 seed, right? It's not that easy always. It's not always that simple, right? And I think that is the readier in this game where there might be some better options to attack. We talked about it this morning, and we don't have to get into it right now, or we can, whatever you want. But my best bet in this game is a player prop, and that's what I'm going to stick to.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It really does as it lines up. And by the way, let me ask you this question. I see this guy's name tweeted around quite a bit, and usually only when it comes to the playoffs. Is it true, like, Scott Foster has never, ever had a series end on his, like, watch? Like, I don't, like, because, like, I'm seeing tonight, Scott Foster's going to officiate the Knicks-Miami Heat Game 6 tonight. The Heat have lost 10 straight games with Scott Foster officiating, dating back to last season. Well, number one, like, I know it probably is a lot more hype than what it's actually worth, but every single year it comes up, people just go, hey, look, Phoenix and Chris Paul are going to, oh, wait, Scott Foster's going, and they never win. Like, why is this a thing? And also, why doesn't the NBA shoot down this perception, or I don't, can they send them elsewhere? Because, again, you don't hear it every game, but whenever it seems like, hey, the old narrative, like, we need a 7-game series, all of a sudden he appears.
But don't you also feel, so this is my thing with Scott Foster, there isn't a place they can put him where he isn't a story, is kind of the thing with Foster. Because I want people to understand this. If the NBA was going to rig a game tonight and Scott Foster is the master of the rig, I promise you he is not in Miami. Mm-hmm. You get me? He is making sure that LeBron versus Steph goes 7. That's the reality of this thing. So you have to keep that in mind. I don't know why. Like, again, if the NBA playoffs were rigged, would this be the way the field would look? Like, Denver would have eliminated Phoenix last night? Or, the refs just couldn't get involved. The refs didn't have the time to fix that basketball game because it was such a blowout. Kind of. Yeah, and I'm not saying Scott Foster isn't bad, but I just can't. I can't get there to a world where Scott, like, it's just, I don't know, Don. I find it very childish that people truly believe that these games are rigged for ratings. I find it very childish.
But here's the best part about it. Like, here's what Scott Foster has to do. Here's all this stuff and goes, yeah, you know, watch this, like, Miami by 35 over the Knicks in a game that I was a ref. I'll never hear about this stupid thing again because it's like, well, listen, they went to extend. Yeah, how about last year when I refed? 35-point win by the Heat and they moved on. See what I mean?
No, this is what I'm saying. Again, yeah, like, hey, all right, Scott, we need to buck the narrative that you extend series for us, so cheat tonight to send Miami. Like, no, just stop being, you know what I mean? But stop being a terrible ref would really be the anecdote.
The NBA, Adam Silver behind the scenes going, we can't lose the New York market yet. We can't lose the New York market. So, Scott, get down there. Keep the New York market involved here. You know, Warriors is a monster market in San Francisco. Lakers are a monster market. We don't need to fix that right now. Be nice to have a game set, but we don't. We just need to keep that New York market involved for at least one more game. That's what I'm feeling right now.
Listen, we need a Monday isolation. So ridiculous, but I can't. No, is my answer to what you're getting at here. No, I do not buy Scott Foster fixing games.
There you go. And by the way, my second game parlay. It's just funny. Like, I think, and again, like, every single team, I think, is like 1-12 when he, which is impossible. But that's what I feel. Oh, Scott Foster's refing. He's 1-12. Well, what is he with the Knicks? Well, he lives up straight on the Knicks too.
Yeah, so, you know pretty good. He just cons every team. He has a losing record.
Yes,
it'd be like the worst team in the NBA. I don't even know how he could possibly hit. Like, who does he ref well for? Is a great question.
He'd bring Scott Foster in. It's like the Globetrotters for one team, and the other side's like the Generals. Like, they can never win, but apparently nobody ever wins when Scott Foster is the ref of that game. Again, the same game parlays that we had today, interesting stuff. Switching up my little MO here, going from like four legs and, you know, a couple points guys and stuff like that mixing in. Just going 3-point props. Kevin Love today over 1.5 threes. Max Strus over 2.5 threes. Close to a 2-to-1 price here, coming in at +194. So that's the angle I'm taking here in the Knicks Heat game. I don't need a lot of offense. I just need some shot makers to make shots. And if I'd say to myself, which I do believe, there's probably going to be 15-point attempts taken between Kevin Love and Max Strus, and I'll live with it. Just don't give me, hey, Kevin Love went 1-of-2. I'm like, come on, man. Like, stop the madness. But as we always like to say, too, is Kevin Love's first three, make it go down. Max Strus, your first three, it goes down. That's a winning night right there. It's getting started.
Yeah, what I love about your wager there is you're back in the home team. That's what I like.
Secondary options on their home court.
Yep.
Good vibes.
Exactly. That's exactly. Like, if you could give me any numbers in the world, but you're like, hey, man, I got this great one tonight. Quentin Grimes, RJ Barrett, 3-point props. But, you know what I mean? It just wouldn't hit the same. It wouldn't hit the same there. So I like the approach. One guy who is, you know, Gabe Vincent all of a sudden has really come back down to earth in the last three games of this series, but we know how that goes, right? Ebbs and flows sometimes there. He is someone on the Miami side I think you might want to dive a little deeper into tonight and see if he could maybe have himself a big closeout game six.
Yes, so that's what I'm looking forward to tonight. We'll see if that line, you know, stays around that number. It can't go to 7 tonight, but who knows? The Avalanche might come in, and the, you know, Miami Heat are just supposed to put this team away. But you're right about one thing. Pick the winner of the game, and you'll probably nail the spread as well.
What's funny, though, what I was going to just say is, so let's just say this fine. It stays at 6.5. Mm-hmm. If we get a game 7, it's going to be what, Knicks 5? Like, is that how far it's going to go the other direction? But I'll tell you this. Miami in a game 7, wouldn't you trust Miami in that spot still? Like, I would.
Like, the atmosphere will be insane at the Garden, and you just figure, like, Jimmy Butler would feed off it. Like, the louder it gets, the better I'm going to be.
Yes, the same vibe. Yes. You're much better off with that game 7 telling the Garden fans to be silent for the game or something like that. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy doesn't feel villain energy going through his veins.
Yep. Yeah, you fake out the Knicks fans by saying, hey, by the way, you know, the pipe broke in here, and you got to go over to Barclays Center. That's where the game's going to be. The fans show up at Barclays Center. Nothing's going on there except for big jumbotrons to watch the actual game, and the Knicks are in silence. That is the way it feels here. But again, game number 2 tonight, 10 o'clock start, 503-504 on the rotation, Warriors and the Lakers. That game's staying pretty much steady at 3. There is a 3.5 at Fox Bet. There is a 2.5 at MGM. I do feel like this is the game that people are wavering on, because I think people are still getting those snapshots in their head as the world championship Golden State Warriors. There's no way they lose. They're definitely going to at least point it to a game 7. And I'm here to say, that ain't happening. The Lakers are the better team. They just have to be healthy tonight. Say, Donnie, why would you say they just have to be healthy? Aren't they? Don't give me any news. We love news during Moneyline in the afternoon. We don't need news today coming through that Anthony Davis is downgraded to questionable or doubtful. A long way to go here. Make sure you keep it right here at SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one on the grid. It's Moneyline, Sirius XM Channel 159. Kevin and Donnie here on a Friday afternoon. Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Lakers for all the marbles tonight. Look, let me play this out for you, too. Answer me this.
Okay.
You had the only difference here is we talked about last night the Phoenix Suns were at home looking to extend the series in Game 6. Everybody else at home in Game 6 looking to end the series. The Philadelphia 76ers didn't do that. And I was very harsh on them this morning, rightfully so. The Celtics came in with a Game 7 attitude going like, we're putting everything in this game. Because why? If we don't and lose, we go home. If we do and we're a little bit tired, so what? We made it to Game 7. We're at home. We'll live off the crowd's fever. The Philadelphia 76ers felt like they had to get their normal rest in here. And they ended up paying for that and losing that game. Now, the New York Knicks and the Miami Heat. I look at the Heat in this game. Do you think the Heat are like, hey, you know what? Let's do everything normal, and in case we lose, we still have a Game 7. We can go win that. And the Lakers. Mm-hmm. I feel tonight, because even with the Philadelphia 76ers, is there a chance they win Game 7? Sure, there's a chance. It's not a Division I team playing a Division III team here. The Sixers have beat them twice, but it's just that mountain's like, hey, man, look, you're a decided underdog, which it looks like both of these teams, if they lose Game 6 at home, will also be in Game 7. The hill is high. Like the Miami Heat, they are a championship organization, but I do think they know the measure of, we don't want to go back to the Garden in that atmosphere mm-hmm. play Game 7. The Lakers know. We had a 3-1 lead. Look, we tried to do something in Game 5. We just weren't as good that night, and rightfully so. But when we go home to our own building in front of our crowd in L.A., we shut the door. Give it just because I felt like the Sixers let an opportunity slip away, which I don't think the Heat and the Lakers are going to let that go. Like, hey, we just didn't have our best. And, hey, LeBron, where were you in the final couple minutes? Yeah, ball didn't find me. So, oh, well, Game 7.
No, so I totally agree that it's best foot forward. And I think you got best foot forward from Philly last night. Their key guys all played 40 minutes, right? They just fell apart down the back end, which is the fear with that basketball team. But there is, when you have a Game 6 closeout on your floor, mm-hmm. the approach is not, hey, Game 7's an hour back pocket. Even if it is, that is not how you go about it, because you never want to, first of all, you never want to play an extra game, right? Mm-hmm. Rest factoring in, all those things. But why would you risk that? So, yes, it is an all-out, give it your everything if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, if you are the Miami Heat. But the same notion that I've had with Miami, the same notion we'll talk about later that I have with Philly, is the same one that I have with the Lakers. Why? I understand Golden State will be favored in that basketball game. You cannot tell me with a straight face the Lakers don't have a chance to win that game. The Warriors have had a closeout game this year on their home floor as a 10-point favorite against the Sacramento Kings, and they lost. The Lakers have already won in that building. And LeBron has been virtually unbeatable his entire career in Game 7s. And what, I'm supposed to believe the Lakers couldn't win a Game 7 in Golden State? It's ridiculous. Again, I know who the favorite will be in the basketball game, but I just... my point is, tonight, the pressure is there. But this is not this scenario where if the Lakers don't win tonight, they're screwed. I don't buy into that notion one bit.
No, I don't, because the game, and the same thing with the Sixers. Like, we've watched it being done before. It's not as if it's a 30-point line and, oh, well, we're done for the series. But it's just, you know, when you have those Game 6s in your own building, I just feel like you have to throw it as a Game 7. You have to have that, we need to knock them out tonight. And if I need 48 minutes out of every starter, that's what we're going to do. Because if we don't win it, it gets immensely tougher in Game 7. Also, again, not that you can't win that Game 7, but I want to see how these two teams treat it. I want to see Jimmy Butler play 46 minutes tonight. I want to see LeBron James again. Wow, look at LeBron. 29 shot attempts. He did not take a break in the second quarter. And here he goes, coming out for the half. He gets a quick two-minute breather with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter for that stretch drive. That's what I expect to see tonight.
And, well, how about this is if you're the Lakers, right? Now, this will be a tough thing to do. But last series in Game 6, you actually didn't play in the fourth quarter because you ended that game. You know, so look, sometimes, and I'm not saying, I know it's hard to do, but start early, Donnie. Up 7 at the end of 1. Up 15 at the break, right? pound this team. The Golden State had themselves a nice little double-digit lead at the half there against the LA Lakers in Game 5. Needed it, had it. Lakers should be up double digits at the break here tonight. That's the kind of mentality. Put this thing away early. So you're right. Look, I can give you 48 if I need to give you 48. But also, I hope I only have to give you 30. Because we win this, and we win this fast.
Because in the one closeout game, which again was game 7, where I should say not closeout, like back against the wall, you lose, you go home, drops 50 points on 38 field goal attempts, which included 7 of 18 from 3. And the last game, again against the Lakers, which was a closeout game, they lose, they go home, 24 field goal attempts, only 3 of 11 from 3, 27 points, but they won that game fairly easily because guys like Draymond actually showed up and got 20 points. That's what the one thing I do like about Steph is, it doesn't matter how the game is going. Like he's not going to half-ass it out there. And I don't mean like always, you know, he's more of a, he had 15 assists out here. He knows. Give me a little bit of, you know, daylight here, and I'm shooting the three. We're down 3, I'm making a 3. We're down 6 with 2 minutes to go, I'm shooting from half court to make sure I get my first look out here. That's what I love about Steph. He's not going to be shy tonight. And that's why I try to line it up with LeBron James. Like, Anthony Davis can step up, sure. D'Angelo Russell can have one of those once-a-series games where he drops 28 points and is unconscious from the three-point line and, you know, taunting the fans or at least firing up the fans if it was a home game. You can see that happening. I just want to see both of these superstars go toe-to-toe and say, you know what?
Sure.
We're not going back to Golden State because LeBron James was tired in the fourth quarter and just said, you know what? Hey, we're down 8 here with 5 to go. Hey, coach. Hey, Darvin. Take me out, man. Like, I got to rest up for game 7. I just want it all on the line. I do believe those two superstars are going to shoot. Like, honestly, what's legitimate here? Both of them combined, 60 shot attempts? Like, I need LeBron to go LeBron tonight. I really do.
Okay, so here's what's interesting, though. He has not done that.
Exactly.
Really, at all
That's
this postseason?
Yes.
He's only done it in fourth quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you this. Look, this is the thing with LeBron, and this is the benefit of a guy who's been the most important player in the league now for, you know, 2 decades, whatever it might be. You'll know right away if he's going to do what Donnie wants, which is take over from the word go. You'll know in the first quarter. He'll go out there. So if whatever his first quarter points prop is, if that's what you like, you just bet that, okay? And if that doesn't win, what you will still have the chance to do is bet a prop on him live, because the fourth quarter will factor in, right? Yesterday, and I just missed, or 2 days ago at this point now, but he had a live assist prop where he needed 2 assists in the fourth quarter, and even still in the blowout, was able to cash that ticket. The ball is in his hands every play in the fourth quarter. And it will be in this basketball game, right? Unless it's a blowout either direction. But Donnie, you want him from the word go? It's a first quarter points prop over. That's the play. First quarter points prop.
Step back threes, you know, getting to the line. Like, that's the LeBron James, that ultra-aggressive guy. Because I do think he knows what the magnitude is also. And when you are a LeBron James, like, it would be embarrassing for him. Oh, look at LeBron, 3-1 lead against Golden State, couldn't handle the pressure, and go game 7, choked, even though he probably goes for, like, 29, 11, and 6. You know what I mean?
Well, no, for sure. Look, on the Steph side of this, though, and this is now building to the point where I guess it's not ignorable, but you know, historically, he's a terrible shooter at Staples Center / Crypto.com Arena. Just very poor. And he's not had Look, Steph Curry has not been the guy that everybody tried to drum him up to be heading into this series, right? The notion on Steph, and I don't mean the historical stuff, okay, because that was always baloney anyway. I'm talking about the fact that people were saying Steph Curry's the best player in the NBA, which was madness. And this is going to sound crazy, but 25.5 points per game, Donnie, for Steph Curry on 36% from 3. Last series, to give you an idea, okay, he went out there 34 points per game on 38% from 3. So still not great efficiency-wise, but the scoring was much better. I know he's had some big assist games here, but he is not scoring the basketball at all and really shooting it specifically the way people expect Steph Curry to shoot it. He's now gone under his 4.5 made three-point prop every game after game 1. That is not what people were expecting from him.
here's what I want to see, too, because I love the way the public will play this out, and you'll love this, too, right? Anthony Davis comes across today and is like, hey, you know what? He can't go head, or it's apparent that Anthony Davis isn't all there. Lakers lose game six, lose game seven. LeBron stinks, man. And somebody goes, well, AD might have been the best player in the playoffs. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Look, LeBron couldn't get it done. That's it. But here's the opposite end of the spectrum. Ready for this one? Wiggins didn't play. Wiggins, what step to do? He didn't even have Wiggins out there with him.
Always.
All-star.
Yeah. No, Donnie, we're already here. I mean, what it's Steph's fault Jordan Poole stopped learning how to play basketball? What?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Like Jordan Poole's not even injured, and he's one of the excuse routes there as to why they might lose. Like, it's like, oh, listen, I mean, what did you want Steph to do? The fifth man stopped being good at basketball. It's like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I don't think that's a valid excuse, but okay.
Yeah, that's the MO that's coming down that you know it is. Like, well, LeBron, like Kevin Durant, you better get it done. So what? You lost, two of your best players in the starting lineup. No excuses
seriously.
Here. LeBron loses AD. You're still supposed to get it done. You know, when LeBron James, his original, the one I love the best too is LeBron James' first trip to the finals where they got mopped up by the Spurs. But then you reach back and go, he's like 20 years old, basically, with not a single good player, and single-handedly, one of the best performances I ever saw by a young basketball player was his performance against the Detroit Pistons in the Eastern Conference. It was wild. He was scoring every time down the court. He gets it. Yeah. Oh, man, come on, man. LeBron can't play.
No, it makes no sense. Again, the loonies that have always said he'd be better off just missing the finals, it doesn't make any sense at all. But these are the things that these people say. So you just try and, I guess, live with it. You know, the Durant stuff, and I've been trying to avoid this because, but, like, Don, this guy's been, like, the favorite in every conference he's been in for the past 4 years and has not been to the conference finals in 4 years.
By the way, odds boost popped up here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't think I like it. I don't think I like it here. It's two players, Kevin, to score 60 points combined tonight. But it's not Steph Curry and LeBron James. It's Jalen Brunson and Jimmy Butler.
Really? Wow, that's surprising.
Now, you know there is going to be an odds boost on the second game. They'll filter one through. But when I look at that, I go, ooh, I like what the concept is. But I just look and say, okay, it's 60. The average is each guy gets 30 in a closeout game with a low total. Because, right? Jimmy Butler can have 28 points. Jalen Brunson can have 26 points. Good games here in this. You don't get it. 35-25. I mean, yes, that's possible.
Payout?
It's 180. It's up from 120.
It's a decent payout, but similar to you, I'm not obsessed with it either.
No.
Because you know why? The Jimmy prop to me looks high. At 28.5. And here's the other thing with that prop, right? Just dead in the water if you get anything that resembles a blowout, right? Any boost last night from the Denver game was no dice. I think it was a 25 from the three big scorers, and you didn't get it from two out of the three.
Feels like it here. Big doings in the NBA tonight. Doubleheader. I don't know. I'm rolling both home teams here. You want money line on both home teams here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 133. Lakers and Heat both get it done. I think that's what happens here. Quick segment to end hour number one. Don't go anywhere. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment for it, hour number two here on Moneyline on Friday. Big baseball card tonight. Not a great one, though, Kevin, to be honest with it, overall. One game that does stick out to me also is the 8:40 start. Colorado Rockies and the Philadelphia Phillies. Cooler temperatures out in Denver this week. About 55 degrees, 56 degrees while the game's going on. Slight wind blowing in. But you would figure, like, Gomber is a terrible pitcher. But the Phillies haven't hit left-handed pitching just yet. So that's one of those where if the Phillies were like being the normal Philadelphia Phillies, you would really attack that situation. I'm not getting those vibes from that game. I do settle on, though, the Perez-Waldichuk game out for Oakland. Again, Texas should be able to roll. And yesterday, if you said, well, Donnie, you thought that Texas would roll yesterday. They only scored four runs. They won 4-0. But there was like 16 different pitching changes in the afternoon. If we got the tomato can that was supposed to be out there, you'd probably get it. But Waldichuk, we know, is going to be out there, Kevin. They're going nowhere. They're not looking to blow up their bullpen. So if he struggles like he typically does early, 2, 3, 4 runs over the first 5 innings, they're going to be able to put them away for Texas tonight. And they're a heavy favorite on the road, minus 174. Nines now appearing as a total, up from 8.5 this morning.
Yeah, love it. Look, for me, Quentin Grimes over 5.5 rebounds plus assists in 8 games this season, regular and postseason, where he has played 40 or more minutes. He is 8-0 over this number, 12-1 in games with at least 38 minutes, played all 48 last game, along with Jalen Brunson for the Knicks. Give me that volume and give me that over. I'm also on the over in the Laker-Warrior game at 221. I think that total's very light. At least one of these teams will have a big offensive game here in the matchup.
Yeah, and once we see some of these lineups coming out here for Major League Baseball, some RBI shots, and it certainly we're going to be involved in that. A lot of fun. Last night was profitable, Kevin. Last night, beautiful. F-unit on each, Adolis Garcia and Marcus Semien, and you would like this. Adolis Garcia doesn't get a base hit. Semien gets one, but it was a long fly into the seats here. So I cashed a plus 160 ticket, which probably could have been a plus 360 or 400 ticket if they had a home run there. But is what it is. Profitability is what you want. Hour number two is coming up, so make sure you don't go anywhere. It's Donnie and Kevin. It's a Friday. It's Moneyline, and we'll be right back.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why my Lowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.